It's Morning Edition on KQED. I'm Brian Watt. This week, we're reporting on the startling number of elder care homes in places across California at heightened risk for wildfire. A KQED investigation found that's more than one-third of all these facilities in the state. When they're not ready for a disaster, they end up calling local first responders. But those departments are already overburdened, especially during the coronavirus pandemic. Here with the next in our series, Older and Overlooked, are KQED science reporters Danielle Venton and Molly Peterson.
It was a windy day in August, 2 years ago. A CHP officer had died that morning near a freeway in Fairfield. Lisa Romero went to see the makeshift memorial. On a hill behind it, she noticed a ribbon of orange flame. Romero knew older people lived over that way, with nothing between them and the fire. She went to offer help.
I saw a man. He looked a little panicked and he was outside.
The man worked at Loving Place, a small assisted living facility on Hancock Drive.
And he told me, he said, I have a lot of residents inside. I have my car. I'm going to have to get them in. Some of them are not ambulatory.
Romero is a nurse. She knew what that meant. So she went inside the care home to help bring people out.
Then we started to gather their belongings. And then I remember one lady wanted to call a family member. So I helped her call a family member.
The fire kept coming closer. Romero says eventually she flagged down police and asked them to call 911.
And everybody worked together, the police, the Good Samaritan, the person that was running the home.
I believe we sent 2 ambulances, right?
Jimmy Pearson is the president of Medic Ambulance.
And then they needed 4 when we got there, but it was too late.
Pearson's crews, Romero and others, got the 4 residents out to safe shelter.
And that fire came right up to across the street from that house and easily could have burnt that house down.
In the end, Romero was there for hours. So was another volunteer. So were the police. It was exhausting.
Feeling the heat, it was unbearable. Like you could barely even open your eyes. It was so strong, and I've never been that close to a fire.
After a complaint about that evacuation, state inspectors verified that Loving Place had a plan, but they concluded that the staffer on duty wasn't adequately trained and wasn't able to follow the plan when the emergency came. KQED's analysis found that Loving Place is one of more than 120 care facilities at heightened risk for wildfire in Solano County. This year, with the coronavirus still spreading, Pearson says places like that should be prepared.
So if you're talking about a second surge or second wave, and then you throw in a massive fire, which is going to happen, you're living in fire world and pandemic world.
The pandemic has reached skilled nursing facilities in fire-prone areas from the Sierra foothills to the suburban fringe. More than half of those facilities have reported coronavirus outbreaks. One way to protect older and disabled people in care homes is to demand more scrutiny for their emergency plans. Kathy Heyer, a gerontologist from the University of South Florida, says climate-driven storms have forced Florida to do just that.
There's a real effort to make sure that that communication occurs so that people can talk to each other during a local emergency, ask for help, ask for supplies, tell them that they need to evacuate or whatever needs to happen.
And for assisted living in particular, Heyer's co-researcher, Lindsay Peterson, points out that states bear primary responsibility.
There is no federal mechanism to regulate assisted living. If it's going to happen, it will only happen on the state or local level.
And Kathy Heyer says Florida law requires long-term care homes to get approval for disaster plans from emergency officials and regulators to check up on them.
And if they don't find it, they fine either the assisted living or the nursing home for not having that plan.
But in California, we don't do that. When Loving Place got in trouble for failing to carry out an emergency plan or train its staff, regulators couldn't even issue fines for those deficiencies. No law requires the State Office of Emergency Services or county emergency managers to look at the plans care homes make for wildfires or any other threats. My colleague Danielle Venton has been looking into how California responds to disasters. She picks up the story.
Cal OES's Vance Taylor says evacuations are always risky for disabled and older people. During the pandemic, it's especially important for facilities to have watertight plans.
We have to have it in our minds that grouping people together and shoving them off in a hurry to one location might present an equal, if not greater, life-threatening risk.
Taylor's job is to make sure that emergency response plans include people who might otherwise be overlooked. Because of the pandemic, he says, Cal OES now recommends more spacing among evacuees at shelters and even renting trailers and hotel rooms to keep people separate. But he can only offer guidance, not rules, about planning for evacuations.
We set out a blueprint.
But state policy is that locals are responsible, the county officials.
To do what it is they believe is in the best interest of the individuals in that community.
Okay, what's the money look like for these things?
Christopher Godley is the emergency manager for Sonoma County. He says the state expects more from disaster response than ever before, and so does the public.
20 years ago, if you sounded an air horn and you put a pillow on a cot in the gym, you were covered. That was the entire scope of your service set.
In recent years, state officials have spoken more about emergency preparedness for vulnerable populations. KQED has found that 77% of Sonoma County care homes are in areas at heightened risk for fire. And when that wildfire breaks out and their plans are inadequate, the county has to divert from its other work mid-disaster to step in. But Godley doesn't have the authority to require better planning.
So our relationship is one of certainly encouraging these facilities to step into that role, that responsibility more fully, develop realistic emergency plans, not just hypotheticals that sit in a binder on the nurse's station.
Godley says the county's role is to warn vulnerable people when they need to get out of the way. Sonoma was criticized for inadequate warnings during the 2017 wildfires. Last year, the county began placing thousands of weather radios in schools and care homes where they can broadcast warnings and alerts.
This has been a test of the no weather radio tone alert device.
These National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration weather radios are backed up by batteries. If PG&E turns off your power or a fire knocks out cell towers, they will still turn on automatically when an alert goes out. Some light up to warn the hard of hearing. Others use attachments to shake the bed of a sleeping person. Alerts also go out through text messages, emails, wireless emergency alerts, and high-low sirens that signal evacuations. And Godley says, in pandemic times, work like this and extra staff time is costing more money. How much more? As a guess?
40%.
Godley is now trying to get 10 shelters ready for any disaster to allow for distancing, where usually he would just need one.
Okay, that's 10 times the amount of work and logistics, staffing levels and training for staffing. So it's a significant cost. It's not just buying two bottles of hand sanitizer and calling it good.
And he worries that, despite his warnings and preparations, a 911 call to county services is still the backup plan for underprepared facilities.
Technology is great, but it does not wheel a bed out of a home into an appropriate ambulance.
What's needed, he says, is a long-term shift. Californians and their leaders need to plan for disasters as a way of life, not a last-minute scramble. Even if right now, and partly because of the pandemic, most local governments don't have the authority or funds to do that. I'm Danielle Venton.
And I'm Molly Peterson, KQED News.
KQED's data journalist Lisa Pickoff-White also reported on this story. Tomorrow, in the conclusion to our series, Older and Overlooked, most elderly people live at home. You're listening to Morning Edition on KQED.